We are continuing Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. The chapter is called The Dark One. The first part was soft. It was.
Didn't like.
It'll get better. That's happy. So Mr. Weasley and the kids are heading back to the tent. But when they reached the edge of the wood, their progress was impeded. A large crowd of frightened-looking witches and wizards was congregated there. When they saw Mr. Weasley coming toward them, many of them surged forward. "What's going on in there? Who conjured it? Arthur, it's not him." "Of course it's not him," said Mr. Weasley impatiently. "We don't know who it was. It looks like they just separated. Now, excuse me, please. I want to get to bed." He led Harry, Ron, and Hermione through the crowd and back into the campsite. All was quiet now. There was no sign of the masked wizards, though several ruined tents were still smoking. Charlie's head was poking out of the tents, out of the boys' tent. "Dad, what's going on?" he called through the dark. Fred, George, and Ginny got back okay, but the others..." "I've got them here," said Mr. Weasley, bending down and entering the tent. Harry, Ron, and Hermione entered after him.
"What about Bill?"
Bill was sitting at the small kitchen table, holding a bedsheet to his arm, which was bleeding profusely. Charlie had a large rip in his shirt, and Percy was sporting a bloody nose. Fred, George, and Ginny looked unhurt, though shaken. "Did you get them, Dad?" said Bill sharply. "The person who conjured the mark?" "No," said Mr. Weasley. "We found Barty Crouch's elf holding Harry's wand, and were none the wiser about who actually conjured the mark." "What?" said Bill, Charlie, and Percy together. "Harry's wand?" said Fred. "Mr. Crouch's elf?" said Percy, sounding thunderstruck. With some assistance from Harry, Ron, and Hermione, Mr. Weasley explained what had happened in the woods. When they finished their story, Percy swelled indignantly. "Well, Mr. Crouch is quite right to get rid of an elf like that," he said, running away when he'd expressly told her not to, embarrassing him in front of the whole ministry. How would that have looked if she'd been brought up in front of the Department for the Regulation and Control? "She didn't do anything. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time," Hermione snapped at Percy, who looked very taken aback. Hermione had always got along very well with Percy, better indeed than many of the others. "Hermione, a wizard in Mr. Crouch's position can't afford a house elf who's going to run amok with a wand," said Percy pompously, recovering himself. "She didn't run amok," shouted Hermione. "She just picked it up off the ground." "Look, can someone just explain what that skull thing was?" said Ron impatiently. "It wasn't hurting anyone. Why is it such a big deal?" "I told you, it's you-know-who's symbol, Ron," said Hermione, before anyone else could answer. "I read about it in The Rise and Fall of the Dark Arts." "And it hasn't been seen in 13 years, said Mr. Weasley. Of course, people panicked. It was almost like seeing you-know-who back again. "I don't get it," said Ron, frowning. "I mean, it's still only a shape in the sky." "Ron, you-know-who and his followers sent the dark mark into the air whenever they killed," said Mr. Weasley. "The terror it inspired. You have no idea. You're too young. Just picture it coming home and finding the dark mark hovering over your house and knowing what you're about to find inside," said Mr. Weasley. "Everyone's worst fear, the very worst."
"Did they kill the mark?"
There was a silence for the moment. Then Bill, removing the sheet from his arm to check on the cut, said, "Well, didn't help us tonight, whoever conjured us. It scared the Death Eaters away the moment they saw it. They disapparated before we got near enough to unmask any of them. We caught the Robertses before they hit the ground, though. They're having their memories modified right now." "Death Eaters," said Harry. "What are Death Eaters?" How did he go 4 books without knowing what Death Eaters are?
I know.
I don't think he knows they're called books. I think he thinks they're years.
Mm-hmm.
"It's what you-know-whose supporters call themselves," said Bill. "I think we saw what's left of them tonight. The ones who managed to keep themselves out of Azkaban anyway." "We can't prove it was them, Bill," said Mr. Weasley. "Though it probably was," he added hopelessly. Yeah, I bet it was, said Ron suddenly. Dad, we met Draco Malfoy in the woods. He's good as told us his dad was one of those nutters in masks. And we all know the Malfoys were right in with you-know-who. What were Voldemort's supporters? Harry began. Everybody flinched. Like most of the wizarding world, the Weasleys had always avoided saying Voldemort's name. Sorry, said Harry quickly. What were you-know-who's supporters up to, levitating muggles? I mean, what's the point? The point, said Mr. Weasley with a hollow laugh. Harry, that's their idea of fun. Half the muggle killings back in you-know-who, when you-know-who was in power, was done for fun. I suppose they all had a few drinks tonight and couldn't resist reminding us all that lots of them are still at large. A nice little reunion for them. What's that? Okay. We're okay, bro. We're just having too much fun next door. But if they were the Death Eaters, why did they disapparate when they saw the mark? Said Ron. They'd have been pleased to see it, wouldn't they? Use your brains, Ron, said Bill. If they were really Death Eaters, they worked very hard to keep out of Azkaban when you-know-who lost power and told all sorts of lies about him forcing them to kill and torture people. I bet they're even more frightened than the rest of us to see them come back. They denied they'd ever been involved with him when he lost his powers and went back to their daily lives. I don't reckon he'd be overpleased with them, do you? So, whoever conjured the dark mark, said Hermione slowly, were they doing it to show their support for the Death Eaters, or to scare them away?
I was just thinking.
Your guess is as good as mine, Hermione, said Mr. Weasley. But I'll tell you this. It was only the Death Eaters whoever knew how to conjure it. I'd be very surprised if the person who did it hadn't been a Death Eater once, even if they're not now. Listen, it's very late, and if your mother hears what happened, she'll be worried sick. We'll get a few more hours sleep, and then try to get an early port key out of here. Harry got back into his bunk, with his head buzzing. He knew he ought to feel exhausted. It was nearly 3 in the morning. He felt wide awake and worried. 3 days ago. It felt like much longer. It had only been 3 days. He'd awoken with his scar burning. And tonight, for the first time in 13 years, Lord Voldemort's mark had appeared in the sky. What did these things mean? He thought of the letter he had written to Sirius before leaving Privet Drive. Would Sirius have gotten it yet? When would he reply? Harry lay, looking up at the canvas, but no flying fantasies came to him now to ease him to sleep. It was a long time after Charlie's snores filled the tent that Harry finally dozed. Let's